Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to another week of Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up with all the state and local news you should know about. Today, Pennsylvania still doesn't have a budget, and Lackawanna County is still without a third commissioner. And we'll learn more about forever chemicals in the latest News Voices. It's Monday, September 8th. Let's get you up to date. All right, let's start with the state budget, which is more than 2 months late now. Some community services, such as domestic violence and rape crisis centers, are now forced to make tough decisions. And as Tom Reese reports for WVIA, the Senate's return to Harrisburg today offers no immediate relief.
Megan McConaughey leads a network of three crisis centers in Mercer County. But with state funds held up by the 10-week budget impasse, she says she's reduced employee hours to stay afloat.
We are unable to make payroll. That's where we're at right now. So starting on Monday, everybody will need to go to a part-time schedule in order for us to be able to keep the doors opened.
McConaughey says out of the 48 rape crisis centers in the state, those in rural areas need state funds the most. The Senate is set to be in session 3 days this week, but budget negotiators say there's no deal yet. There may be progress on one sticking point. Transit agencies have asked the state to let them pay some bills by dipping into a capital fund. That plan had been opposed by Democrats, but is backed by the GOP. Reporting from Harrisburg, I'm Tom Reese.
Thanks, Tom. Now to Lackawanna County for the latest in another months-long saga. Lackawanna County was supposed to have a new commissioner on Friday, but the state Supreme Court stepped in. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall has more.
The state Supreme Court issued an order that blocked Brenda Sacco from taking the oath of office Friday morning. The decision to pause her appointment extends the months-long court battle over the vacancy. Matt McGloin resigned as commissioner in February. Shortly after, Lackawanna County's Democratic Party submitted three names to the court so judges could pick the replacement. The judges met Thursday and picked Sacco. Chris Patrick is chairman of the party.
We have been 7 months now without a third commissioner. We have budgets to worry about. We have a messed up reassessment to worry about. And we're just looking to move things forward. And it's just an appeal after an appeal after an appeal.
Meanwhile, the Democratic Party is fighting the County Board of Elections' decision to hold a special election for the seat in November. A hearing is scheduled for next week. The swearing-in of Lauren Bieber Malin as Clerk of Judicial Records went on as planned Friday. Reporting from Scranton, I'm Sarah Hofius Hall, WVIA News.
Thanks, Sarah. And there's another update to this. On Friday afternoon, the state Supreme Court agreed to take up Commissioner Bill Gaughan's appeal of two lower court rulings that would allow Sacco to become the new commissioner. Find the full story and watch for updates at WVIA.org. Now here's another bit of news you might have missed over the weekend. September is National Recovery Month, and Wyoming Sullivan County's treatment court members celebrated their roads to recovery during graduation last week. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports from the Triton Hose Company in Tunkhannock.
Elias Chilson introduced himself in front of a crowd of about 150 people at the graduation.
Hello everyone, thank you for coming. My name is Eli, I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Chilson is 2 years sober. The graduation was a major milestone on his sobriety journey. Wyoming County District Attorney Joe Peters says treatment court is cost-effective. Treatment court is a court-mandated recovery program that's an alternative to jail.
What you see is a life that would have been put in jail with taxpayers paying to feed and house them. So now you have someone who is ready to reenter society, not a burden on society, but in fact, contributing.
Peter says treatment court is hard work, but it's there for those serious about recovery. Pennsylvania Supreme Court Justice Kevin Brabson says it's an important alternative to jail.
We can't incarcerate ourselves out of mental illness. We can't incarcerate ourselves out of trauma. We can't incarcerate ourselves out of addiction. So treatment courts provide that additional platform to give people a second chance who deserve it. And it's been very successful throughout the Commonwealth.
Chilson and the other graduates, including Bonnie Davis, Joshua Tyler, and Catherine Goetz, credit treatment court with changing their lives for the better.
I am more alive than I've ever felt in my entire life. Today, my worst day sober is better than my best day high.
2025 marks the program's 18th year and 130 successful graduates. In Tunkhannock, I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA News.
Thanks, Lydia. Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break. Welcome back. Now it's time for News Voices. This week, WVIA's Roger Dupuy and Isabella Weiss discuss forever chemicals and how the microscopic contaminants impact drinking water in Columbia County. Here's more.
I'm Roger Dupuy, and this is News Voices. I'm here today with WVIA news reporter Isabella Weiss. Hi, Isabella.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we are going to talk about forever chemicals, also known as PFAS, which have been discovered in a number of communities in Columbia County. So, Isabella, start by telling me, first of all, what forever chemicals are.
Forever chemicals, or PFAS, you can't see them. They're invisible to the eye, but they are chemicals that are found, unfortunately, a lot of times in drinking water. Forever chemicals cannot be easily removed from the environment, but they're in pretty much everything. They're in packaging, they're even in athleisure. They're found in cleaning supplies. And unfortunately, once they get into the environment, they usually stay then in the environment and in the human body for long periods of time.
How did they come to be in these communities in Columbia County?
As of right now, the Department of Environmental Protection has not definitively said that they know the reason as to why they're in Columbia County, but they strongly believe that they were found in biosolids, which were put on agricultural lands in the county. Now, biosolids, think of fertilizer, think of sewage sludge. And specifically sewage sludge, what that means is that it came from a water treatment plant. So previously, maybe it was from your sewer line, it went into a water treatment plant, it was cleaned and then used as fertilizer.
So where in Columbia County are we talking about?
Mostly in the Berwick-Bloomsburg area. North and South Central Townships have found PFAS in their drinking supply. And you've also seen it in Locust Township and a few other places.
Okay. The State Department of Environmental Protection started investigating in April 2024.
Yes, so the mobile home park in question, Brookside Village Mobile Home Park, they had PFAS levels at around 110 times state standards, and that is at no fault of the mobile home itself. That is because it was found in its groundwater, which, because most people who live in Columbia County, especially in central Columbia County, rely on drinking wells, on private drinking wells, the PFAS seeped into those wells from the groundwater. So this predates the mobile home community. It's just, unfortunately, they were kind of ground zero for where these chemicals were found in the county.
Okay. There seems to be a suspicion that biosolids that were used for, as you say, agricultural purposes in the 70s may have been a cause, right?
Yes. So the widely held belief, and once again, DEP, the State Department of Environmental Protection, has said that they strongly believe that biosolids were the cause for the current contamination, but they cannot definitively say that is the case at this point.
Okay.
But yeah, it was probably because waste treatment facilities started putting biosolids on agricultural land. It's just frankly a place to put these materials that we don't really have a good way of dealing with.
Why should we be concerned? What's the real danger here?
So as of this point, PFAS have been found in, I want to say, around 97% of Americans' blood serums. And that's actually according to 2007 data that Penn State Extension specifically was talking about at a recent meeting that I covered and is related to the story we're talking about right now.
Right.
But PFAS have been linked to several kinds of cancer, unfortunately. Okay. Once again, there is nothing definitive at this point, but it is an emerging study.
Okay. What is the DEP doing with respect to this contamination in Columbia County?
Right now, they're providing drinking water to residents, usually through bottled water, or until they're able to put in a filtration system into residents' homes. However, some residents are hesitant to accept the filtration system because they say they have to then put on their deed that their water is contaminated. That makes them worried about their property values because, frankly, as they put it, who's going to buy a house if they know that it has contaminated water?
All right. Thank you for being here. And to our audience, you can read all about what Isabella has written on our website at WVIA.org.
All right. One last thing for the day. Let's start the week with a look back at this week in history, courtesy of WVIA Director of Journalism, Julie Sidoni.
This week in history, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, September 8th through the 14th. This is the week in 1897 that nearly 400 immigrant striking coal miners are fired on by sheriff's deputies in Latimer, not far from Hazleton. 19 marchers are killed, 38 wounded. In 1814, it's the week Francis Scott Key writes a poem which is later set to music and eventually becomes the Star Spangled Banner, America's national anthem. 1974, President Gerald Ford this week makes the controversial move to pardon his predecessor, Richard Nixon, for crimes he may have committed in office. 1990, a new drama series premieres on NBC. Law & Order goes on to become one of the longest-running primetime shows in television history. And in 2022, this is the week Queen Elizabeth II dies at the age of 96. The crown passes to her son, King Charles III. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
Okay, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the week. Find these stories and more at WVIA.org. And while you're there, sign up for the WVIA News Notes newsletter too. You'll get all the local stories you want delivered every Tuesday and Friday morning. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Now, if you want to keep hearing from me and the rest of the team, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Enjoy your Monday, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.